I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call. Mike Walters.
Here.
Jack Minna.
Yeah.
Victor Valentine.
Here.
Chris Guy.
Here.
Aaron Messner.
Here.
Terry Aker.
Here.
And Valerie Ducliff is unable to be with us today because she is teaching. I need a motion to approve meeting minutes on December the 3rd, 2021.
No, you just need to ask if we need to.
Do you go ahead, Mike, you say.
You just need to ask if there's any changes. If not, they stand as
approved. Is there any changes on the minutes? None, then they stand as approved. And we will start the public comment, but before then, I'd like to share a few rules, if you don't mind. Unfortunately, we do have rules. First of all, speak loudly, because when we had this the other night, unfortunately, the audio is not coming through. So if you can speak right into that microphone, it would be much more helpful. Please be respectful. Please direct your comments at the audience or even to the committee, which is sitting up here in front, and please refrain from directing your comments at any one individual. You will have a maximum of 3 minutes, and at 2 minutes you'll hear a sound that reminds you that you have one more minute to go. Finally, each person's opinion should be respected. Nobody's opinion is more important than the person before or after them. So again, please be respectful of each person's thoughts and feelings. On behalf of the county board, we thank everyone who's here today for coming very much. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go with the first.
We'll go with the first speaker, and that is Kathy Ramsey. Is Kathy Ramsey here? And please take your time coming down the aisle. Yes. Allison Lamoth, you will be next.
I do have a document to give you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to get close enough. Okay. Hi, everyone. I just want to say my name is Kathy Acker Ramsey. I am a woman, and I am, what that means is I am under land, law of God, and I walk on water. That's maritime law. And I say that because I want you to know that there is one thing that every single person in here has, and we all started with a heartbeat. And we all end with a heartbeat. And it is the heart with gratitude that changes this world. And I don't care what side of the table you sit on, I never have, because I know that in the end, we are all one. We are all one, and we need to start coming together, and we need to stop this. You're not vaccinated, you're vaccinated, you're white, you're black. We're one, and you know why we're one? Because God said we are all equal. There is no government with the government soulless, and solar corporations are also less, until a man or a woman gets on ship and starts doing it. And then they play a role, to play an acting role, and it's a fictitious role, because at all times you're a man or a woman, and you stand true to that because you are one with your Creator. And I got to tell you, if you are on the side to harm, there is a God's law, and that is not to harm another man or woman. And stay in honor. And if you are trying to take my freedom or anyone else's, you're on the wrong side, because that's harm, and that is domestic terrorism, by the way. Now, I want you all to remember the time when you found out that Santa wasn't real, because you're going to find out this year that there's everything that you've ever thought of, everything that you've ever believed is a lie. And remember, the only way through this is we all work together. We all go to our heart of the matter, and we all know that God will get us through. And if you don't believe in God, then maybe you should look at it as God is the vibration. You are all a vibration frequency. This table, this microphone, it's all vibration. And the first there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is with God. God is light. God is vibration. God is its numbers and sacred geometry and all of that. Anyway, And we have superpowers, and if you want to control people's minds, you're going to tell them a huge lie, and you're going to repeat it often. This is called propaganda. It was in practice for Hitler in World War II. And what they did is they repeated that, you're a bad person, you're a bad person, you're a bad person. And when you tell someone, their mind will start to believe it. And if you tell people often that they're going to die because of this or that, their mind starts to believe it. And guess what? They do. Cancel clear. And when you tell somebody that they have superpowers, and you start letting them tap into that, because there are schools that are teaching children to read a book by putting their hand on it, because we have that power. There are people that can have fire in their hands. This is a fact, and we need to start tapping into that and stop relying on big pharma that's really putting poison in our fluid and everything else. So, I hope that everyone here today will know that we are one.
Thank you.
Thanks, and I do have a document I would highly recommend.
Thank you, Kathy.
And
thank you very much.
I would suggest that everybody on the advisory board read it because it applies to them.
Thank you. Allison? Again, Allison, take your time. Stairs are steep. Trelly will be up next.
Okay. Can everyone hear me okay? My name is Allison Lamoth. I have been in Madison County since 1995 when I began teaching at Southern Illinois University. I'm currently serving as a secretary of the policy board of First Unitarian Church in St. Louis and have taken part in many discussions regarding the return to in-person services after we moved to remote services in March 2020. On Tuesday night of the meeting of the Madison County Health Advisory Committee, the majority of the members of the public who spoke were in favor of the resolution proposed by Mr. Madison. However, there are many voices that are going unheard, including some who choose not to enter this room due to the failure of most attendees, vaccinated or otherwise, to wear facial coverings. In fact, a brief survey of poll results published in early December 2021 reveals that the majority of Americans support vaccine mandates as a way to slow down the spread of COVID infections. 68%, according to Morning Consult, 56% of employed adults served in an Axios poll, and 50% according to a Wall Street Journal voluntary survey versus 47% who did not. These polls do not take into account the impact of the Omicron variant that, as of Tuesday, accounted for a third of current cases in Illinois. On Tuesday night, a member of the general public cited Dr. Lena Nguyen, an American physician and op-ed columnist whose advice I have regularly sought since the beginning of the pandemic. In a recent column, she observes that currently the risk of COVID infections to individuals is low, while the risk to society is high. Cities are declaring states of emergency due to a shortage of firefighters and emergency medical personnel due to COVID-19. Thousands of flights have been canceled in part because of inadequate staffing from quarantine workers. Our area hospitals are announcing that due to an unprecedented number of COVID patients, they will postpone all elective procedures for the foreseeable future. Dr. Nguyen proposes a middle path between the extremes of reimposing lockdowns and allowing uncontrolled spread of Omicron. She recommends that people be required to wear high-quality masks in all indoor public spaces and that proof of vaccination and boosters be mandated for all indoor dining, gyms, movie theaters, and sporting events. By extension, this should include places of employment and schools, many which have returned to remote learning due to staffing shortages resulting from COVID infections, including in our county. Edwardsville, grades 6 through 12, Granite City, kindergarten through 12th grade, and as of yesterday, SIUE. SIUE based their decision in part on the results of mandatory testing prior to the start of the spring semester for all individuals, vaccinated or not. Over 14% of incoming students tested positive. We cannot prevent all infections, but vaccinations are already preventing many hospitalizations and deaths. We must now strive to prevent, in her words, societal devastation. Given the unprecedented surge in COVID infections in Illinois and across the country, it makes no sense from a public health perspective to discourage the use of tools proven to mitigate its spread. I urge you to vote against it.
Thank you very much for speaking, Allison. Amy Centrelli. The next one up is Brooke Gulledge.
am thankful that we live in a country where we can come like this and respectfully share our opinions and be heard. Last Tuesday, I came, so I want to hit on different things, but I do want to remind that I spoke about how my father-in-law died within 2 weeks of vaccination. And me, after a year of being infected with COVID, still had immunity when I helped my son, who had an active COVID infection, and I got a little booster for free. I'm probably the safest person in this room right now because I went through it and I didn't get sick again. I got a little sore throat for 2 days. I took all the things I should and I was fine. I'm not a danger to society. One of the things that jumped out to me as we listened to everyone's opinions was the idea of this body's role in public health versus private health. What does that really mean, to be in charge of public health? Can you really be in control of public health? So if there's a big pandemic and everything is new like it was 2 years ago, it's not extreme to ask us to stay home for a couple weeks. That's your role in extreme situations. But we're not in an extreme situation anymore. The overall death rate, as far as I checked last, has stayed the same, maybe slightly higher, but basically the same overall death rate. So what do you do now when we already know how the virus works? We already have the vaccine. You've done that. You've checked that box. It's available. What can we do now to help people? One of the members said, if we just all get vaccinated and do the right thing, it would solve the problem. It would protect the coworkers. But does it really? My husband's in the military, one of the most highly vaccinated groups right now. And people are still getting sick, and they're all vaccinated. So it isn't just this, do this and everything will be just fine. And everybody has individual concerns that makes them need to take this into account when they just make that decision. One of the members also mentioned that the policies have been building a distrust of the medical field, and I see that. We all hear stories about how unvaccinated people are kept from their loved ones as they're sick in the hospital. We don't want to go there unless it's really, really important because we know what will happen. So how do we keep people from having to be in the hospital? I think that's your job. One of my friends in Colorado had to kind of go underground basically to get a little kit of things so that she would be ready when COVID hit. Why did she have to do that? Why isn't the public health telling us what to do? And they weren't dangerous or illegal things. They were things like vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, a nebulizer with food-grade hydrogen peroxide, human ivermectin, things like that. So when it came, she had it ready, and she took it immediately, and she was over it in a few days. That's what you need to be helping us to do. We all have the idea of just do this and it'll fix everyone, but please help us to have the right tools to do that.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thank you, Amy, for speaking. Tricia Stillwell, Tricia Stillwell is next, and I might have spoke out of turn. I apologize, Brooke. Is Tricia here in the room? Thank you, Tricia. Would you like to come forward? Sorry about that. I skipped, and I apologize. Yeah, sorry, Brooke. You are next, Brooke.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I've got little legs. As I said before, I'm a registered nurse, and I've heard many arguments from both sides. What I'm hearing from both sides is that we've all lost people. In my professional life as well as my personal life, I have watched people die from COVID. I've held their hands. I have also watched people have seizures the day after getting the vaccine, as well as MIs, heart attacks, after getting the vaccine, or some smaller side effects as well. So at this point, I think that what I'm hearing is it's moved beyond the virus, and now it's a fight for our freedom. So I think that the best thing to do for all of us right now is to come together in unity and fight for our freedom, okay? Because it's moved beyond just a virus. And I don't know which social media everybody is plugged into, but this is a fight across the whole world. There are people rallying by the millions against us for their fight, for their right to choose. And believe me, the whole world is on, the whole world's eyes are on America right now if we lose our freedoms. And forcing people to do things against their will, medical treatments, experiments being one of them, is something communist countries do, and we are not a communist country. We, the people right now, are feeling very strong that anybody who sympathizes with communists are treasonous to our country, and we don't appreciate that. We're very aware of that. Also, me knowing that all medical professionals need to take an oath to the Nuremberg Code, that we're seeing violated right now by these mandates, either vaccine or masks, we don't appreciate that either. So at this time, like I said, we all need to come together and continue to fight for our freedoms. So, I do hope that everybody can see at this point, you know, we take a pledge to that flag every time we place our hand on our heart, and it says, I pledge for liberty and justice for all, liberty being the number one thing. So I hope we go from there.
Thank you, Tricia. Brooke Gulledge, Byron Hodson would be next. Byron?
Yeah, I'm Brooke Gulledge. I just want to say I think it is all about the kids now, because the kids don't have a choice in this matter. And we've already done damage to them with the social distancing and the masks and the lack of oxygen that they're getting. And if you go out and you look at studies and everything I'm presenting today, there is studies behind it, if you go look. I'm not just stating these things. And there's 13 reasons why you should all really think long and hard before you line your kid up to get a vaccine that's experimental. The first reason, and I'm not going to say all the studies that back it up for lack of time. I want to get through all these reasons. 86% of the children suffered an adverse reaction to a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine in clinical trials. It's out there on the FDA fact sheet. 1 in 9 children suffer a severe adverse reaction, leaving them unable to perform daily activities in the Pfizer clinical trials. Number 3, just 9 deaths associated with COVID-19 have occurred in children since March of 2020. Now, this was put out on September 14th. Of 2021. Reason number 4, the risk of children developing serious illness due to COVID-19 is extremely low. The Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is experimental and is still in clinical trials. So they're in an experiment. We don't know what's going to happen to them. Pfizer COVID, 3 scientific studies conducted in the UK, Oxford University, and the CDC, which were published in August, have found that COVID-19 vaccines do not say and do not do what they say they're going to do. That means stop you from getting COVID-19. Public Health England data shows the majority of the COVID-19 deaths are among the vaccinated and suggests that vaccines worsen the disease. We need to define the disease. There have been at least 1.18 million adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine in the UK alone. There have been more deaths in 8 months due to the COVID-19 vaccines than there have been due to all other available vaccines since the year 2001. The risk of myocarditis, heart inflammation in children due to the Pfizer vaccine, there is a real risk of that. Do you want your kids to have myocarditis and heart problems? And I think one thing, children have died and are dying due to the COVID-19 vaccines. And you know who stands to profit from all this? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. all over. You can go to the NIH and figure that out.
Thank you, Brooke.
And I have all the data to back this up.
Byron, Martina, Bishop will be next.
Good morning. Volume levels okay? I'd like to begin by quickly reinforcing the acknowledged legal status of mandates, then move on to potential abuses if this resolution is implemented. COVID mitigation mandates function within the legal framework of the 10th Amendment and are reinforced by precedents set in the Jacobson and Zuck decisions. If anyone still believes these mandates are illegal, I would love to hear which amendment these mandates violate, which law they violate, and what mechanism they use in doing so specifically. The resolution which aims to undermine these mandates was stated on record as being political and not related to health. This is troubling and gives away the game. Before I get into that, we need to define liberty and freedom in a legal context. Seeing as the current mandates are legal and work within the existing legal framework, where does that leave the freedom and liberty argument? We need to remember that freedom and liberty are contained within and supported by the law. Now, if opposition to the mandates was presented as a moral argument instead of a supposed legal one, I think it would have merit. But you could also argue that COVID is not like other issues. Anyone can catch and spread COVID, which undermines informed consent. The issue does not relate just to the patient, but everyone the patient has been in contact with. Now, I did appreciate the bipartisan suggestion on Tuesday that we abandon the mandate but strengthen other mitigation like testing and mask wearing. However, this is not a sound fiscal solution. Personally, I would accept a tax increase if it meant everyone could get tested once a week, but others in the county might not want to see a tax increase, which would have to pay for added tests. My main concern with this resolution is its potential to encourage the abuse of individuals. For instance, the resolution last year regarding mask requirements in schools. The day after the county board voted on that non-binding resolution, local insurrectionist groups filed frivolous lawsuits against districts that chose to mandate masks. These groups dishonestly framed that resolution as a choice issue, and as soon as these districts chose something they didn't like, these groups were ready and waiting to file lawsuits. These are mob tactics. With that said, this resolution could be seen as an excuse to set up future lawsuits. What if this resolution lays the groundwork for employees to sue private employers over vaccine requirements? Employers have the right to commission work requirements, such as vaccine mandates, with their employees. That's what an employee is, someone that's agreed to a contract for pay in exchange for work. If employees began suing these business owners, it would violate the rights of the job creators in this country, who are legally recognized as individuals as per Citizens United. And with that rare defense of the Citizens United ruling, I'd like to thank you for your time. Good night and good luck.
Thank you, Brian.
Anyone like a copy of this on the board?
Sure. Sure. Thank you. Again, Martina Bishop and Misty Shaw will be next.
Thanks for allowing me to speak. I'd like to talk about the ethics of mandates to provide some context around the proposed resolution. So, mandatory vaccination breaches an individual's right to autonomy and self-determination regarding the integrity of their own body. This right is implemented in both law and ethics through the requirements of the doctrine of informed consent to medical treatment. So exceptions to this bioethical principle, mandates coercing people to get a vaccine or undergo regular testing should only be considered with a strong justification. So there's a number of things that fall into consideration of mandates. We value autonomy, but we value other things as well. Philosopher John Stuart Mill said that the only purpose for which power can rightfully be exercised over any member of a civilized community against his will is to prevent harm to others. This principle, known as the harm principle, can be used to expand the application of the maxim, first do no harm, to the community interests that benefit from vaccination and other mitigation programs. In the 1905 Jacobson versus Massachusetts case about a vaccine mandate, the U.S. Supreme Court concluded that the liberty secured by the Constitution of the United States to every person within its jurisdiction does not import an absolute right in each person to be, at all times and in all circumstances, wholly freed from restraint. When one person's choice might harm others, it can be ethical for that choice to be limited. That's why we have speed limits, stop signs. Both limit your right to drive as you might wish, but are necessary for public safety. Advocates of a less restrictive alternative to mandates assume that we should primarily be concerned about the restrictions of individual liberty. But for any application of this principle, we need to ask, restrictive for whom? A policy of voluntary vaccination imposes a greater risk of harm on those who cannot be vaccinated, and those for whom vaccination is less effective, and so restricts their freedom to live without fear of avoidable harms, to go to school, to go to work, to keep their job. From the perspective of those who want to live free from the avoidable risks of infectious disease, vaccine and testing mandates constitute the least restrictive alternative. Another big worry and major ethical problem is that of our hospitals being overwhelmed, and a closely related serious issue is the toll on all staff in healthcare institutions working in conditions of maximal stress. I believe we all have the obligation to do what we can to prevent this. At present, one of the things we can do is get vaccinated and be regularly tested. It's not just other people in general who are placed at risk by a person's refusal to be vaccinated or tested. It can be particular people. For example, the person's coworkers. Sometimes workplace rules have good reasons to limit autonomy for the worker's own safety. First of all, an employer has an ethical duty to provide a safe workplace, including protecting workers from the cells, for example, by requiring protective equipment. So to wrap up my comments, discouraging employers and school districts within Madison County from using vaccine mandates or frequent testing of employees and students also discourages an ethical approach to safeguarding health and liberty of people in our community.
Thank you very much.
Do you like to put that on file?
I'm going to do so. Missy Shaw and Peggy, I hope I pronounced this right, Flack will be next. But right now it's Misty Shaw. Thank you, Misty.
Hi, my name is Misty Shaw. I have resided in Madison County almost all of my life. The state of Illinois is rapidly becoming a terrifying state to reside in. I would like to see Madison County set some precedents and resist the tyranny handed down from Springfield and D.C. As I attended Tuesday's meeting, the opposition resorted to sensationalizing the deaths of their loved ones. As unfortunate as that is, let's try to stick to the data. The data says that 0.02% of the deaths in the U.S. are COVID-related, way less than even 1%. The MSM and the left has continued to fearmonger, and quite frankly, we've had enough. You may wonder why so many of us are upset regarding this matter. Allow me to explain. You keep moving the goalpost on us. We were told to stay home for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We obliged. We were told to mask up, limit contact, keep our kids home, sanitize everything, and we obliged. Then this vaccine was rolled out, and then the booster, and then more boosters, and we started to ask questions about the validity, and we were told we were selfish. I firsthand have witnessed the rapid spread over the past couple of months. The unvaccinated are still contracting and spreading COVID. I personally counted 18 family members and friends over the past few weeks that have contracted COVID. Out of those 18, 16 were unvaccinated. One was a 4-month-old baby, unable to be vaccinated, and the other a 14-year-old. I asked my cousin how she felt after getting the vaccine as well as the boosters and still contracting COVID, and she said she feels really duped. That probably sums it up for most of us. To mandate any medical treatment violates the Constitution of the United States of America. The government has overreached their bounds time and time again. We are being stripped of the ideals and freedoms our country was founded on. There is no end in sight. There is now a literal war on the rights to our own bodies and our children's bodies. Even if you think I am making a foolish or risky choice by choosing against a vaccine, that is my choice to make. What do hospitals do when a Jehovah's Witness patient comes in and refuses a blood transfusion? nothing, because as much as they may disagree with their choice and their belief, that's the patient's right and their choice alone to make. But now we are going to force people to take a shot that has proven to be less than effective. This is no longer a public safety issue, it is a control issue. Are we really willing to create mass exodus on professions across the board? We are ostracizing teachers, healthcare workers, and many other professions. Many, if not all, are being forced into an impossible situation. Some being forced out and therefore losing benefits and pay. Some being forced to have a drug injected in their body against their will. That is no decision no American should have to make, and quite frankly, it's disgusting. The Pritzkers and the Bidens that are running this country into the ground need to be held accountable, because they will not stop until all of our freedoms are stripped away. This resolution doesn't take away anyone's right to wear a mask, get a vaccine, or vaccinate their own children, but it will protect those who don't want to do so. Our county board members need not to be sheep, but instead be sheepdogs and protect the rights of the citizens of Madison County as laid out in the Constitution of the United States of America. We ask that you vote in favor of the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Missy. Missy, I'll take that. You're welcome. Thank you, Missy. Peggy? And the next individual will be Rachel Reynolds.
Thank you for the opportunity to give voice to and represent the many residents who are not in attendance because they're cautious about attending an indoor event with so many unmasked and unvaccinated citizens. A positivity rate of 24.56% yesterday. There are two things I'd like to address with reference to disabilities and mitigation compliance. At least three times, parents of children with autism have spoken to this county board or the Edwardsville School District with misleading information. It's simply not true that all children with autism are forced to wear masks at school. Let me repeat that. It is simply not true that all children with special needs are forced to wear masks at school. Children in District 7 have been and are currently exempted from wearing masks on a case-by-case basis. This is referenced by the nature of their disabilities. Here's the caveat. There's a medical exemption form that a pediatrician must fill out that enables this to happen. Here's a direct quote from a mother of an Edwardsville district who followed the correct procedures and did that and got that form from her pediatrician. It was signed, and her child is exempted from wearing a mask. Again, a direct quote. I faxed the pediatrician with no problems. So if a child really can't tolerate a mask in the eyes of the medical professional, they don't have to. Also from this podium, someone stated that the vaccines in the past have literally put them in the hospital. Couldn't a possible solution be to provide medical records that corroborate this claim that they're too weak or compromised to tolerate a vaccine? The same established procedure as special needs children's. It just makes sense. Now I'd like to speak to the elephant in the room. The overwhelming majority of county employees are already vaccinated and support mitigation compliance. They go into people's homes and interface with the public in a way that to do otherwise would compromise the public good. They recognize this and they honor it. They are not afraid of masks or polio vaccines or seatbelts or helmets. Strong people used to using the resources available to safely do their jobs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peggy. Rachel Reynolds. Alicia Melton will be up next.
Hi, my name is Rachel Reynolds Valdez, and I'm a resident of Edwardsville. I'm here today to share why I oppose the proposed vaccine mandate. At this point, COVID-19 has mutated 12,700 times, each time becoming less deadly than the original variant. Although Omicron, the variant that is now in our midst, is the most transmissible, it is far less lethal than the original variant. Statistics show that it is only 1/4 as deadly as Delta, making it similar to the flu. With that in mind, let's look at some numbers.
from last January 2021 to this past December, and keep in mind that was the time frame that would include the Delta variant, not Omicron, the number of children ages 0 to 17 in the United States who have died from COVID are 678, less than 1,000. There's 74 million children ages 0 to 17 in the United States, making the death rate due to COVID-19 for this age group roughly 0.000916. That's one person for every 109,000 people. Adults ranging age between 18 and 50 also have a low mortality rate, their rate falling well before 1% as well. And as we know, the people most susceptible to severe complications and death from COVID-19 are the elderly, people with compromised immunity, heart disease, cancer, type 1 diabetes, and those who are obese. Some may ask, why not take this vaccine, as most of us in this room were vaccinated as children from polio, smallpox, measles, mumps, rubella, and so on. The answer is, when the polio vaccine was made mandatory, the polio virus had a 30% death rate. So it stands to reason that for something that deadly, the state government would step in to protect citizens. A few significant aspects to point out regarding these traditional vaccines are that they are conventional, the viruses they protect against are not mutating, and the vaccines have decades of research, decades of experience. The COVID-19 vaccine, on the other hand, uses new technology, was developed at warp speed, and is expected to target an ever-mutating virus. In addition, there have been some severe complications to taking the vaccine, such as myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, nerve damage, and even death. Lesser symptoms from the vaccine include fever, body aches, fatigue, headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, and nausea. Sounds like COVID symptoms. Lastly, it's still unknown what long-term effects this vaccine could have on people's health. So for these reasons, I implore all of you, please, oppose the vaccine mandate. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Alicia Melton. And the next individual is Tanzia Moshiko. If I said that wrong, I apologize.
Okay. My name is Alicia Melton. I'm a retired Illinois State Trooper. First and foremost, if there was a drug dealer standing on the street and he wanted to give you a shot before you could pass, that drug dealer would be arrested. The government is the new drug dealer. I've got a lot of statistics. I'm going to speak quick. In the past 10 years, 39,000 annually adverse reactions, and there have been 155 deaths for all vaccines combined. For COVID, as of 12/17/21, there was 983,756 adverse reactions. There were 20,622 deaths. As of a couple days ago, there were over 1 million adverse reactions and over 21,000 deaths, and 50% of those deaths occur within 48 hours. That's all according to VIRS. There is a 99.94% chance of surviving COVID. Why would I inject an unknown substance that has a 100% unknown outcome into my body? Study at WashU shows those who have had COVID are protected for life. I am protected. Dr. Peter McCullough, the most published author with over 600 articles, even states that a person cannot contact it twice. There have been over 91 scientific studies on natural immunity. There have been more than 400 studies on the failure of compulsory COVID interventions. The CDC states there's no record of naturally immune transmitting COVID. CDC also says vaccines are not do not prevent one from getting the virus or transmitting the virus. Michigan health system, just as of a few days ago, 99% have been vaccinated, and 686 employees tested positive. Vaccinated carry a larger viral load by 251 times in the nasal passage. This comes from the Oxford University Clinical Research Group, which was published in The Lancet. The WHO says there is no evidence booster jabs would offer greater protection to the healthy. A study presented to the American Heart Association claims risk of developing acute coronary syndrome increases significantly in those who receive the vaccine. Myocarditis and pericarditis are affecting young men after injection. According to Indiana Insurance Company One America, the death rate among Americans age 18 to 64 is up 40%, the highest in history. The vaccine modifies the iodine in the RNA, which allows the mRNA to bypass the innate immune system. Immune systems are being destroyed. The Journal of Infection on the NIH website states adverse events after the first dose are greater in those who were pre-infected with COVID. As of August 2021, 68% of COVID patients in hospital in UK over 50 had received one or two vaccines. Also in August 2021, 59% of serious cases in Israel had received two vaccines. Both are from the Evening Standard from Public Health of England. CDC owns 57% of vaccine patents and spends $4.9 billion of its $12 billion annual budget buying and distributing vaccines. NIH owns hundreds of vaccine patents, profiting off the products it's supposed to regulate. This is about money, not about a virus.
Thank you, Alicia. Can I have those statistics, please?
Can we have a copy of those? Do you have a copy of them? That's fine. It
would be nice to have those on record. It would be nice to have those on record, if you don't mind. If you choose. Thank you. I'm going to give those to Tony, the director of the department. Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll get a copy of it. Is that okay? Thank you. Tazia, is she here today? Tazia. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If not, then Jennifer Corti. And I believe that Rachel Valdez might be on here twice. Do you go by Rachel Valdez as well? Rachel Reynolds?
Rachel Reynolds Valdez, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Gotcha. So this will be our...
But I don't mind coming
here. Jennifer Corti?
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Corti. I have a master's degree in social work and previously worked at Barnes Jewish Hospital before staying home with our three children. My passion is advocacy, and I am asking for the county board to use your power to advocate to pass this resolution. This last Monday, there was a court hearing in Sangamon County, Illinois, regarding the forced testing or vaccination of unvaccinated school staff and teachers in Illinois. Our Assistant Deputy Attorney General Thomas Verticchio was in court defending our governor and promoting the forced vaccination or testing in which our schools have been coerced into compliance. There was another court hearing on Wednesday with 23 lawyers defending the emergency rules imposed on our children set forth by Governor Pritzker, ISBE, IDPH, and the teachers' unions. They were defending the rules for forced masking, social distancing, and exclusions of our children. They again used coercion with threats of loss of funding and sports cancellation to keep the schools in compliance. After watching the court proceedings, it has become blatantly obvious that our state representatives, senators, governor, IDPH, ISBE, school unions, and other politicians have completely overstepped their boundaries with the continued mask and testing mandates in our school. I feel like we are not being represented in our state and would like to see my county board members advocate for our rights. I want the freedom of choice to make healthcare decisions for myself and my children without repercussions. We have now been under emergency orders in our state since March 12, 2020. We are coming upon 2 years of being in a state of emergency, and COVID is not going away. I am asking you to advocate for our children. Advocate for our teachers, school staff, public safety officials, medical staff, and any other person who has chosen not to get the vaccine or does not wish to continue with the intrusive testing. Advocate for those who don't want to be excluded from school or work simply because they have been exposed to an illness. After doing much research, I have found that none of the vaccine companies are liable for any sort of the adverse reactions. This is under the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. Although it is unpopular information, we know that the vaccinated are just as prone to spreading and getting COVID. I have this all documented in here. I never in a million years would have thought there would be discrimination based on vaccine that has been proven less effective in stopping the spread of an illness. We are in the United States of America, the land of the free, and yet our medical freedoms and privacies have been taken away from us. Why is there special treatment for those who are vaccinated than those who are unvaccinated? There has been little conversation of those who have natural immunity and have had COVID. I am asking you to pass this resolution to protect all individuals and their choices for their personal health. Each citizen should be able to do a risk-benefit analysis of the vaccine and decide what is best for them. I am asking for my local representatives, you, the Madison County Board members, to please adopt this resolution. It protects the community members who have already had COVID and have natural immunity, or those individuals who simply choose not to get the vaccine or testing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And we will take that. Thank you. Do I hold that?
And Ms. Tassia is here. That will complete our public comments for today. And as we make a discussion on the committee, there would be no more public comments to be asked for, unless a committee board member would choose to do that.
I have a statement to make. Should it be made in a public comment?
Absolutely, Mike. Yeah, 1 second, okay?
Okay.
Let me just make sure I'm in line here. Before we go there, Mike, if you don't mind, let me we'll get to the resolution in just 1 second. Yes, let's do some business, if it's okay with everybody, and let's go through purchase requests and resolutions. So on your agenda 4A, monthly expense report, I need a motion to approve.
So move. Second.
Would that be Aaron, or was that Chris? Chris, and then Mike Walters.
Do we need a vote?
Need an individual vote, so I'll go through the list. Mike Walters?
Yes.
Jack Miller?
Yes.
Victor Valentine?
Yes.
Chris Guy?
Yes.
Aaron Messner?
Yes.
Terry Eaker?
Yes.
And Mike Babcock is a yes. Okay, the second thing on the on number four agenda, which is B, is purchase request approval. I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Mike Walters?
Yes.
And that would be Vic Valentine. All in favor? Mike Walters?
Yes.
Jack Minner?
Yes.
Victor Valentine?
Yes.
Chris Guy?
Yes.
Aaron Messner?
Yes.
Terry Eaker?
Yes.
And Mike Babcock is a yes. Okay, now we'll move on to the resolution denouncing vaccine mandates, mandatory testing, terminations, and exclusions. If you don't mind, Mike, I'm going to go to the one that asked to have this written up, if you don't mind, and I'm going to ask him to start off. I need a motion to put it on the floor, please.
So moved.
Mike Walters and Aaron Messner. And then I'm going to direct it to Mick Massey, and then I'm going to come back to you, Mike, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, I kind of would have liked to hear other people comment first, but I realize this has never really been discussed on the floor at all. From the last meeting where it got pushed, we never really got to discuss it. So I guess you're right. I should start. So I'm Mick Madison. I'm on the county board. I wrote this resolution, so I'm responsible for it. And I went to Andy Crothers at the state's attorney's office, and he helped clean it up and make it legal for me. So I appreciate Andy's help on that. We're going to miss him here, I know that. Just so everyone knows, I am pro-vaccine. I am not anti-vaccine. I'm also pro-liberty and pro-U.S. Constitution. All the board members know that about me very well, whether the other people know me or not. This resolution was written, it's not meant to be a statement on how we treat people medically with COVID. It's a set of statements as a reminder to people about our liberty and our civil rights as Americans. It's binding policy for Madison County government proper and our employees. And on item 3 of the resolution, if everyone saw the copy, it says the county board, sitting as the Board of Health, now whether it's the Board of Health or whether it's the county board, it really doesn't matter, hereby affirms to its own employees that it will neither impose a vaccine mandate nor require testing of its employees, and will defend and protect the rights of its employees if such mandates are imposed upon Madison County by other units of government. And that would be outside of Madison County, or, you know, whatever level of government that might be. I would think that our employees, whether vaccinated or unvaccinated, would appreciate that we would stand up for their liberties like that. You know, I've heard a lot of discussion on what's legal and the 10th Amendment and this and that. In the Declaration of Independence, it states that we have certain inalienable rights. when we got to passing the Constitution in 1787, they wouldn't pass it without a Bill of Rights. So we finally passed that in 1787 once they established one. And so that gave us 10 amendments, right? I don't believe that, well, I also know this. It's not, I said it wrong. We didn't list all of our unalienable rights. We listed certain ones. So we have, by utilizing the spirit of the Constitution, more rights than that. But if you try to define what freedom or liberty is, honestly, the opposite of freedom or liberty would be one person or government trying to force an American citizen to do something against their will. That is the opposite of liberty. That's why I bring this resolution. So, you know, I understand, too, that, you know, physicians, I have a relative that's a physician, they want to prevent disease, they don't want to treat disease. That's logical. I mean, that's reasonable. It's a scientific discussion. And that's trained into medical students, so they know this. However, that does not override citizens' rights to do what they feel is right for them, even if their doctor recommends a certain thing. They may say no, and that's perfectly allowed and legal. We do have a lot of medical professionals as well as citizens trying to impose their will on others. There are also a lot of medical professionals and regular citizens that will disagree and will not comply with this. And it's regarding the science, and we've heard a lot of discussion on that today. One side is trying to force the other. One side is not forcing anything on anyone. In a free society, which side do you believe is doing it the right way? The one that's trying to force others, or the side that's trying to prevent that force? Vaccination and not vaccinating both create risk to adults or their children. It depends on that person. We understand that it hasn't hurt the majority of people that have gotten vaccinated. And it's your own personal choice. Whether you want, either one is a risk. Which one do you want to take? Are you a highly allergic individual? Is your child, does your child have other special needs? So by putting everyone, as one of the doctors said the other night on our advisory committee, by putting everyone in the same box, it can hurt people. People could die because we put everybody in the same box with the same rules. We have to have exceptions, just like zoning. If you make zoning cut and dried, cast in stone, with no variances and no special use permits, it's unconstitutional. Well, the same has to hold true with medical treatment. There have been a lot of things in the government and the medical community that has been done wrong over the past few years that have caused a lot of skepticism. You know, there's, for the first time, I'm 57 years old, I have never seen in my life us ignore natural immunity on something like this. Like, say I got the mumps when I was a kid, I don't need to get the mumps vaccine after that. It's an added risk that's not necessary. I've seen many doctors say that about this disease. Some other instances. They've not told a lot of people about vitamin D, and that vitamin D deficiencies, which are a large percentage of the population over 25 years old, some younger, the people that are struggling with COVID-19 are people that are deficient in vitamin D. So those are the people that are dying and getting very, very ill from it. Now, I'm not saying you can't anyway. I'm saying that's on the record through the Mayo Clinic. It's on the record in studies from Johns Hopkins. I've read those studies. I've heard and seen it in many other places. So that's something that we should be shouting from the rooftops, and we're not. So it makes people skeptical. Why aren't we? If we know that there's something that could possibly be the difference between life and death for someone, why wouldn't we be shouting that from the mountaintops? So then, you know, some places have even made it illegal to get certain therapeutics because maybe Donald Trump mentioned it. Well, that's political. So I'm trying not to be political here. I'm trying to keep people from doing things to other people. The politics is being played out all around us. I'm trying to make sure that we follow the law for our body and for our employees. You know, some of the other things, we haven't been given certain data that we would all like to see. I've heard it over and over, like how many people in the hospitals are vaccinated, how many have natural immunity. How many have had COVID twice? You know, all the crossovers. We see some of that. We don't see it all. And it makes people skeptical when they don't feel that they're being given all the relevant data. You know, can't read my own writing here. Sorry. Oh, and the other one was, we know for a fact, and it's been admitted by the CDC even, that if you go to the hospital with a broken leg, you take a COVID test, and now you're a COVID patient. But it's also known that if you die in a car wreck and you have COVID, they call it a COVID death. So there's a lot of things there that don't add up to people in their minds. It makes people skeptical, and we need to do better in that. We need people to be able to trust what the government and the medical community is telling us, not go, this doesn't make any sense, it doesn't add it up, I smell a rat. That has created the problem. So all of these things make the information that we're seeing look shady, so I already covered that, sorry. Again, the first duty of an elected official is to protect people's liberty. Of an elected official, our first duty is to protect the people's liberty. We all stood on this board floor and we took an oath to protect and uphold the U.S. Constitution. Personally, I intend to keep that oath. And I do everything in my power to try to protect that liberty on a daily basis, if at all possible. And nobody's perfect. I've failed in that aspect myself in the past. But I ask you to please join me in doing this by voting yes on this resolution along with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mick Morrison. Mike Holliday.
Thank you, Chairman. For those who don't know, my name is Michael Doc Holliday. I am a past president of the Illinois Association of Boards of Health. I'm bringing you information from NALBA, which is the National Association of Boards of Health. It is the national voice for the boards that govern health departments and shape public health policy. Since its inception, NALBA has connected with Board of Health members and elected officials across the country to inform, guide, and help them fulfill their public health responsibilities in their states and communities. Driven by a mission to strengthen and improve public health governance, NALBA worked with CDC and other national partners to identify, review, and develop the following model of six functions of the public health governance. Policy development, lead and contribute to the development of policies that protect, promote, and improve public health while ensuring that the agency and its components remain consistent with the laws and rules, that's local, state, and federal, to which it is subject. These may include but are not limited to developing internal and external policies that support public health agency goals and utilize the best available evidence. Resource stewardship, assured availability of adequate resources, legal, financial, human, technological, and material to perform essential public health services. These may include, but are not limited to, ensuring adequate facilities and legal resources, development agreements to streamline cross-jurisdictional sharing of resources with neighboring governing entities. Legal authority, exercise legal authority as applicable by law and understand the roles, responsibilities, obligations, and functions of the governing body, health officer, and agency staff. These may include but are not limited to ensuring the governing body and its agencies act ethically within the laws and rules, local, state, and federal, to which it is subject. Partner engagement, build and strengthen community partnerships through education and engagement to ensure the collaboration of all relevant stakeholders in promoting and protecting the community's health. These may include but are not limited to representing the cross-section of the community, leading and fully participating in open construction dialogue with a broad cross-section of members of the community regarding public health issues, serving as a strong link between public health agency, the community, and other stakeholder organizations. Continuous improvement. Routinely evaluate, monitor, and set measurable outcomes for improving community health status, public health agency's governing body, own ability to meet its responsibilities.
These may include but not limit to assessing the health status of the community and achievement of the public health agency's commission, including setting targets for quality and performance improvement. Oversight. Assume ultimate responsibility for public health performance in the community by providing necessary leadership and guidance in order to support public health agency in achieving measurable outcomes. These may include but not limited to assuming individual responsibilities as members of the governing body for actively participating in governing entity activities to fulfill the core functions, evaluating professional competencies, the job descriptions of the health director, health officer, to ensure the mandates are being met and quality services are being provided for fair competition. What does a local Board of Health do? A local Board of Health is the policy-making, rule-making, and adjudicatory body for public health in the county or counties of its jurisdiction. State statutes give boards of health specific powers and duties. Every type of local board may make local public health rules that apply throughout the board's jurisdiction. Each board has limited authority to set fees for public health services. Each board also influences the day-to-day administration of the local public health agency. The public health authority boards have expanded powers, their duties compared to county and district boards of health. Consolidated human services boards have all the powers of the county and the district boards of health, except the consolidated human services board may not appoint the agency director, who is appointed instead by the county manager, with the advice and consent of a board. A consolidated human services board also plays a more active role in the development of agency budget and has additional powers and duties related to its oversight and other human programs. State of Illinois has passed a mandate, and that's to help mitigate COVID-19. If an elected official is not in compliance, a writ of mandamus may be used. Are you legal counsel, sir?
Yes.
Can you explain the law of the writ of mandamus?
I'm sorry, would you please
writ of mandamus.
Could you repeat it again, Mike?
In the context, yeah. Sir.
Or in the context of how it applies to elected officials who do not comply to rules from the state.
Yes, please. Please repeat that again so we can understand it one more time, Mike.
The writ of mandamus can be read about if officials are not complying with the rules from the state. So can you explain that?
It is a writ that directs employees of the state and state office holders to follow the law of the state.
Okay.
That would be a writ.
Excuse me, can you speak into the microphone? I can't hear you.
Yep. Pardon me. That would be direction to employees of the state and elected officials of the state to follow the laws of that state.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. Is there any other board members that would like to speak on this behalf? Jack?
We haven't made the motion for the... Yeah,
didn't I just make the motion?
Yeah.
Yeah, we made a motion.
Yeah, it's on the floor.
Mike and Aaron. Mike and Aaron, yeah.
Yes, I oppose this. I stand up feeling this is political. There's an element in this country that's trying to keep this pandemic going for at least another 3 years. I believe in science. I believe in what I see and read. And we have 800,000 people dead at this time, and everybody is disregarding that. So I definitely oppose this. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. We'll go with Mike Walters.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am in favor of this. I've heard people say this is political. Most of you probably don't know this, but the same people right now out in D.C. that are demanding that we do this are the same people in 2020 that said, I will refuse to take a Donald Trump vaccine. So now they're demanding we take the vaccines. Even though in 2020, since it was President Trump, they were opposed to it. And if that's not political, I really don't know what is. The same people that are demanding this are allowing over 2 million people, illegal aliens, to come in from the southern border. Are they being tested? No. Are they being forced to be vaccinated? No. And people people wonder why all of a sudden we're starting to see more and more of this. We have people coming in that don't follow our, you know, what our government is saying. There are a few other things. You know, he brought up the 800,000 people that have died. I think Mick really answered that well. We don't know how many people died of it. We know how many people had it when they died. Big difference. Also, I don't know if most people know this. These are the types of things you don't hear on TV. Actually, I'm surprised I heard it on MSNBC. The number of suicidal young women going to the ER is up. Now, Fox News said 51%. MSNBC said 55%.
Wow.
Up 51%. But let's not talk about that. We don't want to hear that. I also hear people say, we have to follow the CDC guidelines. I don't know how many people this weekend saw the number. I think she's the number two person. The CDC was asked, since you're changing the guidelines from 10 to 5 days, should those individuals be tested? She said, no, we should not be testing them because they could be tested positive for up to 12 weeks after having this. Same day, Dr. Fauci, the leader of the CDC, was asked the same question. He said, yes, we should look into testing these people after 5 days. So we have the top two people at the CDC on the same day ask the same question, give two different answers. And we're supposed to look to them as the people that we're supposed to be listening to when their top two people can't even agree on this simple thing. Again, we are not demanding anybody do anything. We're asking that you don't force people to get vaccinated. I got vaccinated. I work in Springfield. I figured they wouldn't let us in. So I got vaccinated. You know, we have, you've heard the numbers of people is less than 1%. We're forcing people to get vaccinated for an illness that is less than 1%. And I'm sure there's more because there's, as a matter of fact, I know about 20 people myself that had it. They never got tested. So there's tens of thousands of more people out there that have had this disease that we have not, that didn't get tested because, I mean, the one person said, yeah, I lost my taste and smell, so I knew I had it. I said, what'd you do? I stayed home for 10 days. Then they went back to work. They were not tested. There's a lot of this. There's kids in college. You think kids in college are following these guidelines? They get sick, they go, they probably still go to class. So when we hear these numbers, I will guarantee you it's even less than what we've heard because there's so many more people that have not been tested that came out positive. So when I hear people say political, how much more political can you be than 1 year saying I won't take a Trump vaccine and the next year you're demanding people to take that vaccine? And you're allowing millions of people to flood into this country. And, oh, by the way, you don't need to be vaccinated or tested. And what we're going to do is move you to these different states. And what are they doing now? They're going, let's see, let's send them to the states that don't have mask mandates. So you talk political? Give me a break. What he's trying to do is give people the freedom not to get this vaccine. So, Mick, I commend you for bringing this up. This is a good thing. We're just letting people know the way we feel that people should have the right to choose. And if we don't pass this, again, you don't have to vote for it, but you are being political by demanding people get vaccines.
Thank you, Mike Walters. Is there any other comments on the board? I'm going to go back up to Mick first and then come back to you,
Mike. I do have one that I forgot.
Let me do this, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
Mick.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'll let you get the final word in. Mike, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that these numbers are high. They are higher now than they've ever been during the COVID event. I don't know how people could not want to mitigate this, not have it affect as many people as it has. If you lose one person, that's one person too many, you know. And one of the ways to do that is wear your mask. But the main thing is, we're supposed to try to save people's lives here in Madison County. That's what we're supposed to be about as a health department. And we should put out information that's going to help people to the best of their ability avoid getting it at all possible. And if they get it, that it's minute when we do get it. This mandate, I mean, I don't know that we need a mandate for that. I think we just need people to be cognizant of what they need to do to mitigate this, and this should be unilateral, that they are concerned about other people as well as themselves, and they will do their best they can to not spread this.
Thank you, Mike.
And I would be against this mandate.
Thank you, Mike. Nick?
Thanks, Mike. So a little bit of argument to that. Honestly, certain politicians say if it saves just one person, and yeah, that sounds all good, but the vaccine has also taken some lives. So, you know, which way do you want to apply that? Just thought I'd point that out. And you know what? I have to say, we have all lost people, and it's horrific. It's awful. We've mitigated. We still have had all these deaths. With all the vaccinations, all the natural immunity, everything that's happened, we've all still lost people, and it's horrible. But we also don't want to lose our liberty. So one of the doctors the other night in the advisory committee mentioned that he has a problem with the frequent testing, being forced to go under frequent testing under threat of being terminated from their employment. And the reason that's in there is because back when we were looking at when we first started going back to school and some other institutions, looked like they might be using, you know, I have to preface this. We've seen a lot of horrible things throughout history. People are, and our founders knew it too, people can be capable of doing horrible, wretched, awful things. They can also be capable of doing wonderful things and being amazing human beings. That being said, it looked as if people might be using the testing in order to punish people or coerce people to take the vaccine. That's why I added this in here. We might have worded it a bit better. I told the doctor I would be happy to relook at that. This morning, I took it upon myself to try to rewrite that. So this is the third paragraph on the resolution. If everyone has it, is there anyone that wants me to read it as is?
Go ahead, Mick, and read that.
It basically says now, currently, before amended, whereas certain legal mandates and or employer requirements have been directed at some residents of Madison County, forcing them to choose between receiving a COVID-19 vaccine or undergo frequent testing under threat of being terminated from their employment, and. So what I have changed that to, and you can change this however you like, I'm not sure this is the best way to change it, but this is what I came up with this morning. Whereas I don't change anything until the end, so I'm adding on to the end. So whereas certain legal mandates and or employer requirements have been directed at some residents of Madison County, forcing them to choose between receiving a COVID-19 vaccine or undergoing frequent testing under threat of being terminated from their employment. While testing is reasonable, it is not to be used as coercion or punishment to force someone to vaccinate, and. So if that sounds reasonable to people, we could make a motion to amend this to add that language.
While testing is reasonable, let's go slowly.
All right. So at the end of what's already there, we cross out the word and at the end, the last word, and then add, while testing is reasonable, comma, it is not to be used as coercion or punishment to force someone to vaccinate, semicolon, and.
It is not to be used.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you're trying to get it for the recording or to write it down. So I'll start over.
Yep.
While testing is reasonable, it is not to be used as coercion or punishment to force someone to vaccinate, semicolon, and.
CS, call for a motion to amend from the floor. Give a second.
Can I ask a question for clarification?
No, Brooke, I'm sorry, you can't. I apologize, but you just can't do it. Nick, let's do it one more time. While testing is reasonable, it is not to be used as coercion or punishment to force an individual to vaccinate. Last words.
And. Semicolon and. That sounds better. Semicolon,
did
yeah.
You
nice
say
job.
Individual or someone?
Either one. Whatever you guys want to do. Whatever you think sounds right.
I do individual.
Yeah. Individual.
I have a question.
We'll let legal review it.
Go ahead.
Nick can, if in fact there's a, go ahead.
I have a question.
She's on the board. Yes.
I just feel like that's kind of discriminating. And I don't feel that is the angle we want to do. I personally don't want to be discriminated against if I'm with a vaccine or without. I feel like we're really putting a barrier between us. And, you know, our kids are already facing this in schools. Student athletes are going through this. And I feel like if we put that in, it's going to make it a little worse.
So you mean just by adding that line?
Yeah, I don't
know. So you're saying
I'm not sure.
Leave it alone? Is that what you're saying, Stacey?
I feel, yes.
Stacey?
How so, Stacey? I'm not sure I understand how.
Maybe we should say something like testing should not discriminate based on vaccination status. Something to that effect. I don't want anyone feeling like they're being discriminated because they either have one or they don't. So adding something.
Because that might cause someone to bring it up. Is
yes,
that what you're saying?
And then you can say we're not coercing.
So in other words, you've got a teacher or a coach that says who's vaccinated in this room?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
and that is happening.
I understand.
And then if you're not vaccinated, you need to go stand in that line and get tested every week. Now, how is that fair? And how is that not showing?
I've actually heard that's happened, so
it
that's
is.
Not unreasonable
and
to
so
say.
So I just want to cover that, and I want to make sure that is not happening. And if adding something about
you.
We cannot discriminate based on vaccination status, I think that is bold and strong in that.
And maybe we should add or call it out publicly.
Yes.
I don't know what the committee might think of that. That's my thought, but that's off the spur of the moment.
Stacey, would you repeat? Now, you know how to go slowly.
Testing should not discriminate.
Can somebody write this down?
I have a proposal, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Wait. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Wait for Mr. Babcock.
Your testing status should not discriminate. You should not be
Mr.
discriminated
Chairman.
Against based on your vaccination status.
And Stacey, as I read this, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, please. As I read this, and as I'm talking to John here, we believe that this fits the model of what you're thinking and your idea behind it, because it indicates no coercion can be done to allow people to somehow feel discriminated against regarding the fact that they don't have a vaccine. And I think John has given us an indication that sentence that Mick is indicating is true to its to what you're saying.
Okay.
But I mean,
I just that's something that's really near and dear to my heart, and I just want to make sure that's being represented, being enforced.
And
that
Mr. Chairman,
would you rather add? Could we also add something to the effect of at the end of that? What I wrote down was vaccination status should not be made publicly known due to HIPAA laws or whatever. I don't know.
Nick,
might want to add.
Let's have Chris Guy chime in because
sure.
He has a comment on this issue.
And just my take would be a suggestion that we pass this as is, give you time to work this out with our state's attorney's office on an amendment that we can propose at the Board of Health meeting.
So you're saying pass it as it was originally written,
mm-hmm.
And then we could potentially talk about an amended.
Correct. So in that way, we could have actually the language in front of us. Our legal counsel could look at it. That way,
during
Mr. Madison.
Board, and during the Board of Health, which
correct.
We'll have at the next meeting,
correct.
You're saying that amendment would, we could actually pass that amendment in that Board of Health meeting.
So, yes.
Is that correct, John?
Yes. That way, we can make sure we get it right.
I like that.
Stacey, yeah, that'll give us more time to at least look at what
agree.
Mick is talking about, because I understand what Mick's doing by putting that on there, but somehow I'm not getting an understanding exactly what you're trying to communicate to us.
Sure.
Just because I'm not prepared, I guess, in that regard. Yeah. I do want By the way, is there any other comments from the board?
Could I make one more comment?
Sure.
That if this resolution passes, it will be in conflict with the state of Illinois' rules, and we could be held liable.
Well, I just want to simply say this, because I heard you say that once, and I chose not to speak on it. Okay. I do not know of any law in place from the state of Illinois that was voted on by our legislatures that indicates that we should take the vaccine and wear masks. I'm talking about a law, okay? Talking about a law that was passed by our state representatives and our state senate. And I think I'm correct on that. So that's so you when a governor mandates, he has a 30-day, my understanding is based on the law, Darren Bailey challenged him, okay? He had 30 days on his mandate. He made that mandate 2 years ago, literally. And he was shown in a court of law that that mandate held no water after 30 days. So I'm just going to, is there any other, thank you, Mike. Yeah, greatly appreciate it. Good discussion from everyone. I just want to share one last thing. It's more of a personal side, letting you know that I'm not against vaccines, personally. I'm not against vaccines whatsoever. I am against forced vaccines on our children and discriminating based on that. My father had COVID in November of 2020. I had COVID in March of 2021, and I was sick, very sick, for 3 weeks. Didn't like it. I have lost many good friends to this disease, this virus called COVID. Under my doctor's request, after I was very upset after getting COVID, I chose to take the vaccine. That was my choice. My choice. I still believe in the phrase liberty or death. I choose liberty. And the reason I choose liberty is because we live in a great nation called America. There's been tremendous amount of adverse reactions to this vaccine. It has not been approved. It's not been approved. It is still in trial phases. Madison County government that we're talking about right here, there should be no threat of anyone in this government under any condition should have to take a vaccine to come to work here, should have to wear a mask to come to work here. That is their choice, and I want to make sure through this resolution, because I feel like I'm voting on this resolution regarding Madison County employees. We respect their wishes to either A, do or not do the vaccine. Here's the sad part of it all. They say there is a work shortage of people, and yet we're terminating nurses that we called heroes, police officers that we call our heroes, in our military force that have been there for 20 plus years. And we are terminating their employment in America. It sickens me to feel this way on how we treat the people that serve our county. Gentlemen, let's give him a round of applause. And Tom as well. These guys put their lives on the line every day for us, and I wouldn't want to have their job because it's difficult. And so we support them, and the idea of somebody terminating their employment, whether it be in New York City or across this nation in any other state, red or blue, I don't care. It's sad to see. And that's how I feel about it, and that's why I will be voting for this resolution. Thank you very much for coming today. With that motion, we are going to take a vote. Let's go line, person by person, if you don't mind. I'm going to go reverse order, if you don't mind. Terry Aker?
Yes.
Aaron Messner?
Enthusiastically, yes.
Chris Guy?
Yes.
Victor Valentine?
Yes.
Jack Miller?
No.
Mike Walters?
Yes.
Mike Babcock is an absolute yes. It passes. Thank you very much for everybody who came today. I don't believe there's any new business.
Mike, can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
It's been brought to my attention that the Illinois legislature has just recently broke Madison County into sub-circuits. And I'm just wondering, will this having that be potentially more liberal judges, have an effect on these type of mandates, and how will that affect it?
Okay, so I was just in the judicial meeting earlier this morning, and because you've asked it in this session, I think I'm going to defer to Tom McCray because he is the circuit clerk in Madison County, and I'm going to ask Tom to explain exactly what they did in the state of Illinois. He's a much better, I go to him for a lot of advice, he's a much better someone that can explain it a lot better than me, and I'm afraid that I might miss a few dots, I's and T's.
Well, I'm happy to explain what happened, as I understand it.
Tommy, can you speak into it? And if it's, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I cannot, unfortunately.
Can you hear me now?
I can't.
There we go. Well, Mike, I'm happy to explain it. From my understanding, I'm no expert. It actually just passed Wednesday evening at about 10:30 at night. And so they broke Madison County into sub-circuits, so to three sub-circuits. The sitting judges, two of the judges who are now Republicans, will be forced to run in the most, I mean, you would have to say the most Democrat area of the county. So it is the legislature has chosen to infuse, I think, partisan politics into the judiciary. And so with how that results, we can only speculate on how that might end up.
Thank you, Tom.
Is this health related?
It may not be. Hold on 1 second, Jeff. Thank you for the question. Let me finish by saying this regarding that issue. Jack and Mike know it's not, but it is judiciary related, but it did come up in the message. Basically,
it's not health related, Mike, and we've done this before.
But it's dealing with.
It's not health related.
But if that's going to have an issue, impact these mandates, then yeah, I think it is.
Health committee meeting, though. We listened to this last month for a half hour, and I think we've dealt with plenty. We don't need to get into judicial.
You know, Jack, it's interesting that you mention politics, because this very thing is political. And I'll leave it at that, Jack.
Sure.
And it's not right. And you know what we're talking about, because I know you've heard about it. It's not right that two of our circuit court judges have to move to a different area, have to move out of their houses where they're at right now because they made a law in the state of Illinois to go to a different area. And you, of all people, say it shouldn't be political, and it has been political. And that's what we're upset about, Jack. I'll leave it at that. I'll do that. But I just want to remind you, you've talked about politics all the time. You saw where the state of Illinois, out of Chicago, is controlling us down here in Madison County. And it's that. And I'll leave it at that. Okay? Fair enough? Tony, do you want to make a report?
No, it's fair to Mr. Walters.
By the way, this is our health director, and I want you to give her a round. She's doing a great job. And I mean that. I mean that. Seriously.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mike?
Second.
Aaron, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.